Lord, we come to you grateful this morning. And these praises are for you. You are worthy. And I pray that we would approach your throne continually throughout the day, both with boldness and confidence, but also with a sense of awe and wonder. Pray that your word would be preached this morning, and just quite literally, as we bring your word back to you and to us, and I pray that as it states in Romans, that we would be mutually encouraged in our faith. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
Someone asked me as they were coming in if I was preaching today. I said, no, you are. Of course, that was a little bit of a shock. But it's true. You wait and see how this works out. I want to share a scripture with you to start off before we turn to the Lord and turn to his word that maybe you've gathered. And I read this because it's an encouragement to all of us, each individual Christian. It comes from Ephesians 4, 1 to 7. As a prisoner of the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you received. You know, we're talking about a call for a new pastor, but each of us has been called as a servant of God. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. There's one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of us all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ has apportioned it. We all have different talents and directions, but each of us is a servant of God, and he's given us the grace to do that. So we need to grab onto that grace and move ahead. And then I want to go down in the same chapter, chapter 4 of Ephesians, and read 11 to 16. Because God gave gifts to all of us. So Christ himself gave apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers to equip his people for works of service. So the pastor isn't hired to do something. It's to equip you to do something, to do the word, and to love others. So, it's to equip the people for the work of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature. Not just going to church, but become mature Christians. Attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we'll no longer be infants tossed back and forth by waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. There's a lot of bad folks out there preaching Christ the wrong way because it doesn't come from the word. This word is the bottom line. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we grow to become, in every respect, the mature body of him who is the head. That is Christ. From him, the whole body is joined and held together by every supporting ligament. It grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. The title of my message today is, We Are the Church. And before I pray, I want to teach you a song. It's a little ditty you may know from Sunday school, because we are the church. I am the church. You are the church. We are the church together. all who follow Jesus all around the world. Yes, we're the church together. I'm going to lower that just a little bit. Because I'm a tenor. You, I am the church. You are the church. We are the church together. All around Jesus, all around the world. Yes, we're the church together. Let's bow and pray. Lord, as we bring your word back to you to glorify you, we ask that it would touch our hearts and others' hearts. We praise you for the opportunity, Lord, to be the church together, to share the message together, to preach to one another, to share from our hearts. And we glorify you in it. Holy Spirit, rain down on this place that we might be ears open, heart open, and that we might lift you up. In Jesus' name, amen. I mentioned last week in the bulletin that I wanted you to bring a scripture this morning that affects your life right now, something that's really impacting your life right now. And I hope that they're not too long, but I'd like you to give us one or two sentences about why that affects your life so much right now. Because God speaks to us through His Word, and I'm not preaching, you are. Okay? We're going to have a mic over here and a mic over here, and I'd encourage you to hold your hand up, and we'll come around and let you share your scripture and those two couple of sentences, and we'll see what scriptures God really is laying on hearts. Who's first? Yeah, she has the mic. Okay. We need it.
Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not into your own understanding, but in all of your ways acknowledge Him. Proverbs 3, 4, 5, and 6. And just, I would prefer to lean on my own understanding. I would prefer to not have to trust the Lord with my own heart, all, conditionally, all of my heart. And at 53, going back to seminary didn't seem wise to me. I was done school. So trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not into your own understanding. That has taken on new meaning in the last year.
That's a good one.
Yesterday in men's group, we were looking in Luke for this, and there's a reason we didn't find it in Luke. It's in John. It's John, the 9th chapter, the 25th verse. This is a rather long story about the blind man who Jesus gave sight. And he said, whether he is a sinner or not, I don't know. One thing I do know, I was blind, but now I see. The simplicity of that. We don't have to be evangelists. We don't have to be theologians. We just have to be willing witnesses.
God says, we are the church. We are the church. No, I am. I am the church, you are the church, we are the church together. All who follow Jesus all around the world, yes, we're the church together. So we need to see, as Alan says, to see that word and trust it. Okay. Next, we have a mic over here too, on the shy side.
Well, I thought that I had a couple of verses that I was going to share this morning. And God woke me up in the middle of the night last night with a different thought. He didn't give me a verse, but He gave me a thought. And then I woke up this morning and I checked my phone. I have a Bible app on my phone that has a verse of the day. And I read it and that's it. That's the verse. So it says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to give you hope and a future. In those days when you pray, I will listen. If you look for me wholeheartedly, you will find me. Jeremiah 29, 11 to 13. And I think that this speaks to where we are as a church in the interim right now. We need to keep our eyes focused on Jesus and what God wants for us as a congregation.
Be patient and wait on God's will, but trust that God's will work. As you give your scriptures, I'd ask you to give the address first. the book and the verses first, and then give it last as well. Somebody might want to write them down. Some of them are in the bulletin for your future reading, but some may not be. So give it before and after. That would help somebody write it down.
Philippians 1:6, and I am certain that God who began the good work with you will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns. For me, it means a lot because it means that I don't have to be perfect, that I strive to be Christ-like, but I know that at times I fail, but it's okay.
We're in a journey, aren't we? We're in a journey to be Christ-like. That Ephesians passage said the same thing. But we remember we're in a journey.
Jesus talks in metaphors lots of times, and so he gives us images that we can understand and visions. And this is from John 15, and it's verses, they're short verses, 1, 5, 7, and 8 together there. And so this is what it says, and this is from Jesus. I am the vine, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourself to be my disciples. And when I read that last night and kind of decided, there's so many of them there, that's the one I picked. But I just want you to look around in this room right here. Look at all the branches that are connected to the vine. Right here we are. This is a faithful faith community here, and we have a tremendous amount of fruit that we produce here. And Don talked about one of the things that we do is fruit. And if when we're all connected to the vine, then collectively we can bear tremendous amounts of fruit. And with what's happening in the future, the way we're looking in the future for our guidance in that, I saw this kind of as a challenge to us a little bit, is how can we now encourage new branches to grow on the vine here in our Grace Community Church? And the way we can do that is, I'm not sure how that all works out, but by community outreach or new programs or things like that. And if we listen to and our harvest can increase, I can tell, I can guarantee that. And if we listen to the Spirit, he'll show us the way. And your theme today there, Pastor Dick, is exactly what I was going to say, and you beat me to it all the time here already, but we are the church, you are the church, we are the church together. That's exactly what this implies, I think.
Thanks. And that unity that Ephesians passage was talking about comes because we're connected to that same vine. We're connected to Jesus. She's in charge of keeping you short, Arvin. Well, so she's not short.
All I want to do is say that verse where that came from, you said at the end. Yeah. So that's John 15, 1, 5, 7, and 8.
Thank you.
That's all I wanted to say.
I put the tough one in charge of that.
Okay, I have Isaiah 43, 2, and 3. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord, your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Isaiah 43, 2. And I wrote down four scriptures and discovered that some of them from the new, some from the old, that they all were pretty much on the same thing, that God is always there for us and we're not going to disappear from his sight.
And we can count on it because God feeds us with his Holy Spirit, with his word, with the love of Jesus. One over here. This is the shy side. There you go. One's good. We're going to do this one first. Go ahead.
Ephesians 2:10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. Mm-hmm. And to me, this isn't just what we're to do, but it's what God is doing in us also.
And that's one of the other ones I was going to share.
We're created for good works.
My reading is from Romans, and it's going to start with verse 10. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God, and it is by confessing with your mouth that you are saved. As Scriptures tells us, anyone who trusts in him will never be disgraced. Jew and Gentile are the same in this respect. They have the same Lord who gives generously to all who call on him. For anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And my notes below that can say it better than I do. And that is that salvation for all of us is close as our lips and our heart.
If we confess with our lips and believe in our heart, that's a good scripture. Romans 10, 9, and 10. That's an excellent scripture to share with someone who's interested in Christ. Because that's how we believe. We confess with our mouth, we believe with our hearts, and Jesus takes care of the rest.
As for God, his way is perfect. All the Lord's promises prove true. He is a shield for all to look to him for protection. Psalm 18:30. I didn't know whether I should really say anything or not because I really don't, am not a member here.
Sure.
But you know what? The same God that was in New Jersey and took care of me there is here in Colorado.
Amen.
He lives here too, and Amen. He takes care of us here too.
And that scripture and a couple of the others we've already heard says God's with us even in hard times. Even when we're struggling, God is with us.
I originally had from Ephesians 6, 10 to 17, but I can consolidate that down.
Hold your mic up a little.
Oops, I can consolidate that down. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, kind of leaves it there. But for me, it's like all the things going on in our world and around us and in our lives, just to remember what's important and to remember God and to remember our hearts.
God is still in charge. But that scripture is interesting because, and where was that again? Ephesians 6, 10, 17, and following. Because what it says is we need to be prepared. God didn't say, I'll just be with you. Most of those scriptures say, be prepared in your spirit, and I'll be with you whatever you have to walk through. So we need to do our work of service that God has prepared us for. Okay?
This is a verse that we've clung to for basically our whole relationship. It's the passage from Matthew 6, 25 through 34, and I'll just read verse 34. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. That's Matthew 6, 34.
Yep. Particularly being married to a soldier, you know, take it one day at a time and trust God. Good scripture. Who's next?
There's a lot of scriptures that I had a hard time just finding references because I have them in here. But I do like Mark 9:24 where it says, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. And it just continues to dig deeper into my heart. How much do I really rely on myself and how much do I really let go to the Father? You know, James says there's always trials and tribulations. And another book, it talks about, you know, give thanks in all circumstances and to give praise and thanksgiving regardless of what you're going through. And all of that just speaks to me, and I want to keep digging in deeper to the Lord. So I'm always testing myself with, you know, how much do I really believe and trust and rely on my faith in him and not trying to do things on my own.
You know, you mentioned you had a lot of scriptures. in a couple of my past churches, I would quite often on Sunday morning say, this is one of my favorite scriptures. And people would come up afterwards, how many do you have anyway? Because there's a lot of good stuff in here. Go ahead.
Mine's short and sweet, but to me covers everything. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
That takes
when
an
things
amen.
Are rough and you just remember Christ is here with me. He's the one in charge. He's given me strength. I don't feel like I can do this, but I can.
Amen. That's one to put on your refrigerator. Okay, back here.
I just don't like having my back towards everyone, so I'm going to slide up here. I'll
she
be reading.
She told me she was going to preach, so.
I'll try. If you give me a mic, I can get in trouble. I'm going to be reading from next version. That's fine. Okay, Matthew 25. The numbers are very small, 31 through 46. And it says, but when the Son of Man comes to his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit upon his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered in his presence, and he will separate the people as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will place the sheep at his right hand and the goats at his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, who are those who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you fed me. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me into your home. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you cared for me. I was in prison, and you visited me. Then these righteous ones will reply, Lord, when did we ever see you hungry and feed you? Or thirsty and give you something to drink? Or a stranger and show you hospitality? Or naked and give you clothing? When did we ever see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will say, I tell you the truth. When you did it to one of the least of these brothers and sisters, you were doing it to me. And then the king will turn to those on his left and say, away with you, you cursed ones, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his demons. For I was hungry and you did not feed me. I was thirsty and you did not give me a drink. I was a stranger, and you didn't invite me into your home. I was naked, and you did not give me clothing. I was sick and in prison, and you didn't visit me. Then they will reply, but Lord, when did we ever see you hungry or thirsty, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not help you? And he will answer, I tell you the truth, when you refuse to help the least of these brothers and sisters, you were refusing to help me. And they will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous will go into eternal life. And in terms of how that applies now, in terms of my clients, some clients need to cancel appointment for next month, and then they need to cancel again until next month, or until next month. And there are some signs that you can see it's that they can't pay to come. Or the parents with adult children that say, I keep telling my children to call you. I keep telling them to call you, but they're not calling you, and they're not calling you. And you get to kind of, you realize there's a financial issue, and then try to step in and support in a way that is not, in a way that is appropriate and not condescending, of course. And then with my students as well. It's not always materialistic, but they just need to know someone cares and loves mm-hmm. about them, which mm-hmm. is sometimes tough. Yeah. But
again, God has prepared us for good works. And you heard what happens. There is a judgment eventually where the sheep and the goats are separated. But God has prepared us for that. We just need to do it. Open our eyes and see where the need is. And do it. Who else? If you don't have one, I'm going to share some of mine.
Some of his many favorites.
One of my favorites, while you're thinking, because I'm sure there are others, one of my favorites that I use to bolster my spirit in sharing my faith. Because it's easy for us to say, oh, no, I don't want to talk to that person. Or in 1 Peter 3, 15 and 16. But in your hearts reserve Christ alone as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks to give a reason for the hope that you have. People should see you as a Christian and say, you're a little different. Of course, some of us are different for other reasons too, but we're different because we're Christians. We need to be ready to give an answer. You say, oh, I don't have an answer. Well, you need to sit down with a pencil and paper and write out an answer. Be prepared to give a reason for the hope that is within you. Then it goes on. It says, but do this with gentleness and respect. You know, some evangelist will grab you by the collar and try to force you into the kingdom. You know, that doesn't work because it's the Holy Spirit that does that work. All we need to do is share where we are and share the hope that is within us. So that comes from 1 Peter 3:15. Who else? I'm going to go to teaching if you don't speak up. Here's one that hit me because of some of the things that some of us have been praying about and dealing with in the church during this vacancy. It's 2 Timothy 2, 15 to 17. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved by Him, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly explaining the word of truth. You don't need to know all the answers. You just need to say, this is how the word affects me. But this last part is the part that I wanted to share with you, rightly explaining the word of truth. It says, avoid profane chatter, for it will lead people into more and more impiety, and their talk will spread like gangrene. When we don't go to someone straight out and talk about an issue, when we talk to our friend about it, it spreads like gangrene. So we need to, as the book of Matthew says, go to that person or go with another person for a witness or bring them into church. It's a whole process that's laid out there in the scriptures. But we need to face each other. You know, that's what we need to learn to communicate. My wife always said one of the gifts that I was able to work with in the churches that I served was teaching people to stand toe-to-toe and disagree. We don't all have to agree. We can still be in unity in Christ and disagree about some issues. It's okay. We'll love each other on the other side of that. Okay, who else?
Romans 12, 1 through 2 says, therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. And that was Romans 12, 1 through 2. That's just always reminded me that we're not here just to hang out at church and do church things, but we're here to actually live sacrificial lives for the glory of God.
Amen. Hebrews 13, 8 to 9. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't change. You say, well, the church has changed. Yes, the church has changed over the years because the Word hits us differently. The Holy Spirit leads us in different directions, but He's the same forever. Do not be carried away by all kinds of strange teachings. It is good for our hearts to be strengthened by grace. Not by eating ceremonial foods, not by just coming to church. That may or may not have any benefit. But we should be strengthened by grace. So when we come here, we need to prepare our hearts to receive that grace and to give God back glory. Because that's the relationship that the Lord wants. There's a lot of good stuff in Hebrews, and I don't think anybody quoted any others from Hebrews. And I'm going to shut up here in a minute.
this goes right along with what you just said, Dick, in your message there. And that this is 2 Timothy 2:19. And this is very simple. Meanwhile, God's firm foundation is as firm as ever.
We can stand on God and trust Him. That's for sure. I want to close with a prayer. It's not my prayer. It's Jesus' prayer. In John, and John is an excellent book. Someone told me this morning that the book of John is what brought them to Christ, to relationship. The book of John is more spiritual than it is chronological. And in John 16 or 17, these are the last words that Jesus is sharing with his apostles. And he prays for himself. He also prays for us. And this is Jesus' prayer for us. It comes from John 17, 20 to 26. And again, Jesus speaking. My prayer is not for the apostles alone, for them. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message. Your message this morning. That all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. That's the issue, isn't it? To believe that Christ is the Son of God. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I am in them and you are in me, so that they may be brought completely to unity. Then the world will know that you sent me, and you have loved them even as you have loved me. And Father, I want those who you gave me to be with me where I am, and to see my glory, the glory that you've given me, because you loved me before the creation of time. Righteous Father, if anybody wants to argue theologically, some people don't understand that Jesus was there at creation, part of God. God is God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And these are Jesus' words. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know that you have sent me. I have made you known to them, and I will continue to make you known in order that the love that you have for me may be in them, and that I myself may be in them. Amen. So you preach today. I am the church. You are the church. We are the church together. All who follow Jesus all around the world. Yes, we're the church together. So it doesn't matter who's up front. We're the church. Amen.